So what happens in situations where, say, for example, the U.S. citizen is stateside, right? And then, man, it's taken forever. And they're like, oh, man, you know, I just have to go back to my wife. You know, I need to get back home with her or whatever. So in that situation, can they just go ahead and try to seek the consulate again,
So it's kind of a two, so no, not, no. It has to meet one of these exceptional circumstances. And you can't just say, I meet one of these exceptional circumstances, so I'm going to file this I-130. You first submit a request to the consulate. And that consulate, you submit the request with all your supporting documentation. They give the yay or nay. If they give the yay, then the petitioner has to personally file that petition at that consulate with the original supporting documentation. So the policy specifically says it's not a means to bypass processing times in the United States. So and then likewise, I think if you have already filed, so some the clients that we were just talking about where they've already filed an I-130 for a specific beneficiary, you are then not eligible to file directly at the consulate. You already have your petition pending. You can request an expedited processing just based on the normal USCIS channels to expedite those I-130s, which may or may not get approved. But this, it really is a very small, limited group of people, but it does include people.
And keeping that in mind, I guess when you have the initial consultation, if you hear the facts that the U.S. citizen has been living outside with the foreign national, so maybe kind of start thinking about, you know, which is a faster way if you've got the facts to fit.
Yeah, if nothing has been filed yet, definitely look at that and then look at why that petitioner is having to come back. It doesn't meet one of these. I mean, at the end of the day, it has to meet one of these extenuating circumstances or these exceptional circumstances, although there is another category. But it really is the intent behind it really is to expedite because somebody is in a dire situation.
I will say there's really, if the I-130 is not yet on file and you think it may be an exceptional circumstance, try it, right? Because if the direct filing works, you can go from reaching out to the consulate to the person being issued an immigrant visa in 2 months.
Yeah.
It's super quick. So it's worth giving it a shot. And just always when you do that consultation, just have it in the back of your head. Oh, maybe this is one that would be appropriate, as opposed to, look, you're dealing with Ciudad Juarez or Mumbai, and this case is going to take a year and a half, 2 years with all the delays.
Yeah, it definitely, I think with everything with immigration right now, it never hurts to try. That's kind of where we all are as far as we've talked about, like, strategies and what do we do in this post-COVID, post-Trump, new Biden era where a lot of our tools have been taken out of our toolbox. And so, you know, you hear things or you read things that other people are doing, and I think that's really what we want to do is just share what we do, and we would love to hear what you guys do because you just never know what's going to work. And we're just trying to do the best thing for our clients at the end of the day.
And Mona Gupta just walked back in. She is the expert on I-130 direct filings. She's my go-to. So reach out to her if you have a question about I-130 direct filings.
And she has done globally, probably more than anyone else I know.
Yeah.
So I talked to Mona this morning, and this was my best piece of advice from Mona was, so if the request to accept a direct filing is denied, there's no appeal. The guidance specifically says there's no appeal, there's no reconsideration, there's no taking it to a higher level. You just have to file your I-130 with USCIS, and you can request the expedite. And then, of course, Mona says no. USCIS says no. You say yes. You tell them no. I don't accept that. So, I mean, this is why I love Mona. And so, you know, it never hurts to try something else. You know, I think you just have to look at timelines and things like that. Like, obviously, you don't want to keep trying for 8 months or 10 months when you could have maybe filed that I-130 and requested an expedite. But you know, USCIS, the Department of State, says blah, and we say nah, and then you go with it.
So, in the spirit of cases being stuck and looking for creative solutions, I think the biggest problem that a lot of us have seen are biometrics. Ugh. Because you can't get an EAD issued without biometrics clearing. It's been a huge mess in the midst of the pandemic. So Lakshmi.
Yes, ma'am.
Client is waiting. It's been 5 months. No biometrics, just the receipt, no prior biometrics ever captured previously. What are you going to do?
Yeah. So the only bit of good news that I have in this whole section is that one thing that they started during COVID was that they were waiving biometrics if they had previously captured it from an applicant for some other application. So, for example, somebody that adjusted status in the United States and they captured biometrics, then they don't need to redo it for the 751 or the N400 because they have it in their system.
I mean, we were all wondering when this was going to happen, right? Like every year, renewal, right. You have to go get your fingerprints taken. Like
it took COVID for that to happen.
Right. And it has to go into a computer, but we're going to keep doing it.
Yeah. So that's really the only good news on biometrics. So now let's go down the other path. Every case where biometrics is required, we practice out of Dallas. You just can't get a biometrics appointment in the natural way. So what we have asked our staff to do, we file the application, we wait 3 months, and then we inquire.